each week.
Here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes just to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you without asking you for anything. Sometimes I lift my hands to you. Sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. And Calvary is the reason why.
Well, hello and a beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounts, and I just kind of felt like magnifying the Lord this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. God's been so good to me, and I know that God's been good to you. God has blessed America. We've seen trials. We've seen a lot of situations. And, well, we've seen sickness. We've seen death. But, you know, God's still at the helm. Our president spoke the other day, and he said it's true that our nation is in a financial stress, and there's wars on every place, but our nation is still strong. I'd like to say today that there is a lot of wars going on. There's a lot of turmoil, a lot of trouble in this country, but God's still strong. And if God be for me, then who in this world can be against me? I am Reverend Tommy Mounts, and I do thank you for letting me come in your homes, your convalescent places, the penitentiaries, wherever you are. And God gave us a message many years ago called Something to Believe In. And we've tried to spread the message of Something to Believe In across the airways. As a matter of fact, right now we're on the Internet, and we received a letter the other day from way over in Africa, a young man, 29 years old, who had someone had told him about the stbi.org website, and he reached in there, pulled it up, sent me an email, and said if he ever, when he came to America, rather, he was going to come and look me up because he enjoyed the message. He enjoyed the songs that we sing. So today we're here to magnify the Lord, not to brag on me, but to brag on Jesus, because, you see, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And today, that's what we're here for, is to worship and praise the holy name of Jesus.
He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the broken heart I had. Was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of fear and foolish pride. The things that made me blind, and then I saw the clouds were silver light. what's best for me. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The glory of himself revealed to me. I did not know that he had wounded hands. I saw the blood he upon the sands. I saw the marks of shame and wept and cried. He was my substitute. For me he died, and now I'm glad he came so tenderly and washed my eyes with tears that I might see.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? My battles.
if I knew that it would be the last time that I'd ever see you fall asleep, I'd tuck you in more tightly. I'd pray the Lord your soul would keep. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you walk out the door, I would give you a big old hug and a kiss, and I'd call you back for more. If I knew it would be the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I would video the tape each action and word so I could play them back each day. If I knew it would be the last time I could spare an extra minute, I'd stop and say I love you, instead of assuming that you would just know that. If I knew it would be the last time I would be there to share your day, well, I'm sure you'll have so many more. So can I just, for this one time, let it slip? For surely there's always tomorrow to make up for our oversight. And we always get the second chance to make everything just right. There will always be another day, I say, I love you. And certainly there's another chance to say anything I can do. But just in case I might be wrong, and today is all I get, I'd like to say how much I love you. And I hope we never forget. Tomorrow is not just a promise to anyone, young or old alike. And today may be the last chance you get to hold your loved one tight. So if you're waiting for tomorrow, why not do it today? For if tomorrow never comes, you'll surely regret that you didn't do it today. That you didn't take that extra time for just a smile, a hug, or a kiss. Because you were too busy to grant someone what turned out to be their very last wish. So hold your loved ones each close, very close today, and whisper in their ear. Tell them how much you love them, and you'll always hold them dear. Take time to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, or, oh, it's okay. And if tomorrow never comes, you'll never have regretted that you did that today.
And I remind him of the prodigal son. I said, listen, the prodigal son went into far country. I said, he went back and he simply said, Father, I'm sorry. I said, if you would say I'm sorry and repent of your sin, then I know that God would forgive you of your sins. So why don't you say I'm sorry? Is that all I got to do? He said. I said, yes. I said, the moment you say I'm sorry, the Father will forgive you. He's that kind of a God. Well, let's go to the message right now.
Chapter 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, on of temperance, and of judgment to come, Felix trembles and answers, go thy way for this time, and when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. We want to guide your thought of attention this morning to the three areas in which Paul directed the message to Felix. First of all, it was righteousness, then temperance, and then judgment to come. You see, Felix talked about the concerning of the faith of Christ. There had to be a longing, there had to be a desire to even hear about the story. You see, the story of Christ has always intrigued the hearts of men. A man said to me just the other day, he said, well, preacher, what if it isn't so? I said, well, sir, what if it is so? You see, because God is the person that challenges the mind. God is the person that says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Man cannot understand his lost condition. Man cannot understand why he has to repent. It's very obvious because we sometimes think that there's nothing to repent about. You see, we come into this world not knowing all of the tragedies and all of the situations that we will face. We run into a lot of problems. We run into a lot of situations. We grow up to find out that sin is the cause of every problem. And Felix could not understand this. Felix needed someone to show him the way that he was living. And Paul reasoned about the situation. I like God's reasoning. I like it because God reasons. In other words, God lets us look at both sides of the issue. No, we're not lost because we sin. We sin because we are lost. We are creatures of sin. We are creatures of habits and creatures of things that God is not pleased with. God doesn't put us here as a robot. He doesn't say you can be saved or you can be lost. He does not place the destiny within His own hands. He doesn't make you like a robot, push your button and you do the things that He programs you to do. He makes you a free moral agent. He gives you a will. He gives you a right. And He gives you a mind of understanding. He gives you a great gift, which is called the gift of choice. You see, that choice gives you the right to say yes to God or to no to God. But once the choice has been made, then the decision has been made also. Now you stand in judgment toward God. You see, Paul begins to reason with Felix about the righteousness. The Bible said, unless our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus said, they would no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so he talked to him about concerning the faith in Christ. We must be in Christ, and Christ must be in us. But men have their own way today. But God's day is coming. We may think that we're right. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So men have their own way today. It's true, sir, ma'am, that we can live any way we want to. We can do anything we want to. But you see, God's day is coming. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, but then after death, the judgment. And then he began to reason also, because you see, Paul had no respecter of person in his preaching. For the word of God does not have a respecter of person. Felix, you're lost. Pharaohs are lost. Men and women are lost without God. Every man that stands at the judgment seat of Christ cannot say that they were good enough, that they did think good deeds in their life, and that everything and anything that it would take to save a man, except they did not have the repenting spirit. So Paul had no respecter of person. Paul, just because Felix had the authority and the power to even release him from prison, he was still not willing to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. I sing a song sometime called "The Ground is Level at the Foot of the Cross." The rich man stands there, and also the pauper stands there, because every man will have to give an account to God. The Bible said there is none right, no, not one, because our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. So as Paul began to reason with Felix, he said, "Felix, you're right. You're right in your own eyes, but you're wrong in God's eyes." And then he began to talk to him about his situation. Paul, in his preaching, aimed at the conscience to lead them to the place that they could see their own sin. And that's what preaching is all about. We don't need to get up and tell people that how big a sinner they are. The message should lead our conscience to the realization that we have all sinned. We've all come short to the glory of God. We need to tell men and women that God made man right in God's sight through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by his own doings, not by his own good, because there is none good according to the Bible. Our goodness is as filthy rags in the nostrils of an almighty God. So you see, our righteousness is not any good. We say, well, we have rights. Your rights need to be nailed to the cross. Jesus Christ took your rights to Calvary. Now the only right you have is the righteousness of God. And righteousness of God has been imputed to man, not because of what you've done right, but by what God did right. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Paul began to preach about temperance, out of control. Paul referred to the saving of Christ and to the saving of the soul above his own safety. He was so caught up in the message of Christ that he did not care about his own life. He said, "For me to die would be gain, but to live would be Christ." In other words, Paul was a servant of Christ. He was not going to compromise the gospel. He was not going to compromise even before Felix. Felix had the power. Felix had the authority. But you see, Paul was serving one who had a greater power and a greater authority. And he said, Felix, it's temperance. You're out of control. And today, it's very obvious. This whole world is out of control. We've lost the real meaning of sin. We've lost the real meaning of the judgment of God. We've lost the real meaning of what it means to be right with our fellow man. We've lost the old-time religion of where that men would rear back and sing the song that my daddy used to sing. And he said, if it's good for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. If it's good when the world is on fire, it's good enough for me. He was talking about the old-time religion. And America needs to get back to the old-time religion. We're out of control. We're like a train, according to a song, going down the wrong track. We need America back, according to one of the songwriters. You see, we need to stand for the cause of Christ. We're out of control. America is out of control. And then Paul said there is judgment to come. Paul was willing to run the hazard in his work for the cause of Christ. You see, in 1 Peter 4:17, notice what the Bible said. The Bible said, for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin first among God's own children. And if even we who are Christians must be judged, what terrible fate awaits those who have never believed in the Lord. If the righteous barely be saved or scarcely be saved, what chance will the ungodly have? If you've never confessed Christ, I say you do. I not only say you do, but God's...
A country where no twilight shadows deepen, an ending day where night will never be, a city where the storm clouds cannot gather. All this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the crystal sea? To meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. All this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus before whose image other lives all flee, and when they crown Him Lord of all, I'll be there. For this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the crystal sea? Our loved ones and crown Christ forever. All this is just what heaven means to me. All this is just what heaven means to me.
Yes, sir, this is just what heaven means to me. Well, I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate all that's helped me on this broadcast. I was thinking about Carol and Ann Cole. Haven't heard from them for a while, but I hear that they're they're not feeling real well. So let's remember them in prayer. And remember Miss Neely. I haven't forgotten you, Miss Neely. I appreciate you. And then I got a letter the other day from Louise Ellison, said she'd been having a little inner ear problem, I think it was. But anyhow, I've been having that too, Louise. So it's just this weather sinus going on. So a lot of sick people out there, a lot of lost people out there. So let's pray for them right now. Father, we pray for the lost. We pray for those, God, who are so far away from you, Lord. They're unconcerned about their soul, Lord. And the songwriter said, where the soul of man never dies, and we'll never die. We'll either spend eternity with you or without you. And God, to be able to find Christ real in our heart and life would truly give us truly something to believe in. A lot of people don't believe in nothing. And Lord, we pray that somehow or another you'll turn them toward you before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for making me the speaker of it. Thank you for people who have paid and prayed and supported me down through the years. I thank you for the internet. I thank you for Dana and Daryl. I appreciate them. I appreciate the worldwide internet. I pray for my internet people all over the world. Well, that's our broadcast today. I hope you've enjoyed everything we said and done. And until this same time next Sunday, may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and/or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by...